considered one of them already this morning, but here in Matthew 28 it says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly, and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." As we consider this time of year and consider what Jesus accomplished in the resurrection, I want us to imagine the battle that was going on, if you would. There was a spiritual battle going on. You see, God had taken on flesh. The God-man, the second person of the triune Godhead, had taken on our humanity. He was born as a baby to his mother Mary, miraculously conceived in her womb. And he lived and grew on this earth, just like each one of us grew up, but he was different. He, being fully God, was without sin. He perfectly obeyed his heavenly Father. But you know, there was one who was set against him from the beginning. We may call him the devil or Satan, but from the very beginning, when it was announced that Christ was to be born, Satan moved his hand through the power of a king named Herod to try to have Christ killed. He tried to have him destroyed. Then later, when Christ was about to begin his ministry, Satan appeared to him and he tempted him three times to try to derail Christ's ministry. Every time Jesus encountered Satan's messengers, those fallen angels, those demons would cry out in fear. And would say, "Why have you come here? Lord, why have you come here? Are you coming here to afflict us, to punish us, to torment us before the time has come for our punishment?" And so throughout Christ's life, there was this struggle between Satan's plan and what God had planned in sending his only Son to this earth. And I would ask you to imagine with me today what was maybe going on in that conflict. That Satan, we know, the scriptures tell us that when one of Christ's very close friends, one of his disciples, a man named Judas, decided that he would betray Jesus, that Satan filled his heart. Whether that means he was possessed by Satan or whether Satan simply just filled his heart with the idea of the betrayal, he was able to twist Judas's soul and his mind and get him to betray Christ. We know that it was in Satan's plan to see Christ killed. That maybe he had found some kind of weak link here. Maybe there was some hole in God's plan. That maybe the God-man had a weakness. And that is, now that he's a man, he can die. Satan could kill God. And so we do know that Jesus was betrayed. He was betrayed with a kiss. And the soldiers came and arrested him. And they took him, and he was set in a really illegal trial before the leaders of the Jewish community at the time, those who had bitterly resisted Christ's ministry. And they, knowing they didn't have the power to carry out a judgment against him, sent him to the Roman governor, to Pontius Pilate, saying that the man needed to die. And Pilate said, "What wrong has he done?" But yet Pilate saw that it would please the people to kill Jesus. And so against everything, Pilate didn't get along well with the Jewish leaders. He had no reason to want to do their will. But against everything, he decided he wanted to keep the multitudes happy. And he agreed to have Christ crucified. And Jesus was forced to carry his cross to the place of crucifixion. His arms were nailed. His feet were nailed to that cross. And he hung on that cross. And there he died. And I want you to imagine with me the situation, the scenario, that here is the Christ, Jesus, the God-man, who died on a cross. And they took his body down, and they prepared it for burial. And they put him in a tomb that was owned by someone else, that was prepared for a rich man named Joseph of Arimathea, his family tomb. And Jesus' body was put in there, and the stone was rolled closed. And he was dead. And if you'd let me for a minute, imagine a personification of death, as if there was a conversation going on. We know death is not a person. Satan is a person. The devil, he's real. Satan is a person. Death isn't a person, but sometimes the Bible does talk about death as a person. It says that someday death will be cast into the lake of fire. Now, we know that's metaphorically talking about it being cast in, but sometimes the Bible does talk about death that way. That people fear death. But imagine Satan saying to death, "We have him. Can you keep him?" What would death's reply be? "No one has ever escaped me. I have never lost my grip on anyone who has ever come to me. Every person who has ever died stays dead." Satan says, "Are you sure? This is the God-man. Can you keep him?" And death says, "I have never lost my grasp on anyone who has ever come." And Satan rejoices. He thinks he has defeated God. He has killed God. But in Satan's plan, Satan getting what he wanted, he didn't realize that in giving Satan what he wanted, God was actually defeating both Satan and death. Sin, death, and Satan were all defeated. Because when Jesus died on that cross, he didn't die on that cross because he was a martyr who was dragged away. Yes, he was arrested and he was taken away and all kinds of unjust things took place. But this we know, that he told his close friend and his disciple Peter, that when Peter pulled out a sword to defend Jesus, he said, "Put your sword up. Don't you know that I could call legions of angels to defend me?" Jesus could have been defended by legions of angels, but he chose willingly to go to that cross. Why would the God-man go and die? Because the Bible tells us that the wages of sin, the cost of sin, is death. Sin brings death. But wait, he wasn't a sinner. He wasn't a sinner. But you know what? I am. You are. We're all sinners. We've all rebelled against God. We've all tried to do things our own way. We've all tried to want to have our own lives and say, "God, I don't care what you say, but I'm going to do things my own way." And we've rebelled against God and decided we would do the things we wanted to do. The Scripture calls that rebellion against God. It calls it sin. Some of the specifics of sin are things like killing, stealing, lying, adultery, those kinds of things. Things that we recognize when we see other people do them, we think of them as bad, as evil things. None of us likes to have our stuff stolen. None of us wants to be murdered. None of us wants to be lied to. And we've all committed sin. And you see, Satan thought he had won when he got Adam and Eve to sin in that garden. He thought he had won a great victory that had plunged all of us into sin. All of us have, both by nature, from what we've inherited from our parents, our first parents, Adam and Eve, and by our own choice, have sinned against God. We've rebelled against God. And Satan thought he had won a great victory. He had plunged humanity into sin and into ruin and into condemnation. And no one had ever escaped death. But here, now, Jesus had gone to that cross and had died. But you see, there's a reason that he said, "It is finished," when he died on that cross. What was finished? You see, something was being accomplished there. There was a great work taking place. The atonement of sin was taking place. The sins of the world were laid on him. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." He bore our sins in his body on that tree. And he died. And he was in the grave. But on that first day of the week, death could not keep him. Amen. It was not possible for death to keep him. Death had never lost that battle, but that day death lost that battle. And because death lost that battle that day, we all too will see a conquest over death if we're in Christ. The scriptures say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? You see, because the sting of death has been taken away. Death is still an enemy. And I'm not saying that death is not something that is serious. But what I'm saying is that death is defeated. Christ came out of that grave. That was the sign that His Heavenly Father, who had sent Him to this earth, had sent Him to be the atonement for sin, that He willingly went to that cross in obedience to His Heavenly Father. That was the sign that His Heavenly Father had received that sacrifice and put His stamp on it as having been accepted. You see, death thought he could keep his grip on Jesus. Satan thought he had delivered Jesus into a place that Jesus could not break free of. But in doing so, Jesus both defeated sin by paying for sins on the cross, and he defeated death by coming out of that grave. And he now ever lives. He can never die. We sing that in that song. The Christ cannot die. He did die once, but he can no longer die. And he ever lives to make intercession for us. That is what we rejoice in today. That we serve a risen Savior. If you go to the tomb, there's a disagreement about which tomb might be the tomb. But whether you go to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem or whether you go to the Garden Tomb in Jerusalem, the fact is that whichever one was Jesus' tomb, there's a reason his body is not there, and that is because he's risen. You will not find his body there because, as we see, the angel announced, go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead. Jesus lives. And this is good news. The gospel has been called good news. Good news because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But not only did he die, he rose. I did a study several years ago through the book of Acts on all the sermons in the book of Acts. And as I looked at those sermons, I made notes of all the things that I found that they preached on. What were the points of their sermons, if you would? And what I noticed is that every sermon in the book of Acts that's preached to people, find the day of Pentecost, for example, or we find Paul preaching in Acts 17 to the philosophers at Athens. And every one of them, the apostles always proclaimed the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You can't have Christianity without the resurrection. The Apostle Paul says, if Christ be not raised, we're of all men most miserable. The worst thing you could do is be a Christian if Jesus is still in the grave. But he's not. Amen. He's risen. Amen. And I want to say to us this today, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, today, as the first day of the week, is a great day of rejoicing. He lives. We have a risen Savior, crucified, risen. If you're with us today and you've never come to saving faith in Jesus Christ, I don't mean by that, have you ever joined a church? Have you ever been baptized? Have you ever done some religious work? What I'm asking is, are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you following Jesus Christ? Has there ever been a time in your life when you came to faith in Christ? The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Or Paul says to the Ephesian elders that he was preaching repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. What do I mean by repentance? Not turning over a new leaf, not making my life good enough for God to accept me. None of us can do enough good works to pay for our sins. What I mean by it is the most common word in the Old Testament for repent is turn. I turn from my loyalty to self and sin, and I turn to Jesus and say, that's the only hope I have of eternal life. I was lost in sin. The famous hymn, Amazing Grace, I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. See, when I focus on self and sin, it blinds me, and I get vision when I see Jesus. And I want to say this today. If you're with us today, I want to invite you today to come to faith in Jesus Christ. To come and believe in Him. After this service is over, feel free to find me. You can find Pastor Jed. He led our music. We'd love to open the Bible and show you from the Word of God how you can know Christ. How you can know that you have eternal life through Jesus Christ. That you no longer have to fear death because Jesus has conquered it. That you no longer have to worry about how you will answer for your sins before God because Jesus has paid that price. I want to invite you today to come to faith in Christ. If you're a lady, we'll be glad to have a lady counsel with you. If it's a child, parents, we'd love you to be involved in your children's spiritual life and come with them. But we'd love to show you from the Word of God how you can know Christ, how you can believe in Him, the risen Savior. In just a moment, we're going to have a few moments to reflect on what we've heard sung and what we've heard from the Word of God this morning. We'll just take a few minutes to biblically think about the things that we've heard.